Hello, I'm Andrew Richardson, and in this audio you will learn the basics of what you need as you begin your journey to overcoming and moving on from your addiction. Listen to it for a few times until it really sinks in. And my hope is that this will lighten you and give you hope that as you really begin to understand how you have got stuck and lost, you can begin to see that there is a way out. And you will see that this time it really will be different. Self-disgust does you no good, and you don't need it. Basic knowledge of how and why you are succumbing and lost is so much better. And of course, the self-disgust you feel is helping to keep you stuck by draining you of self-confidence. So let's begin. And to begin, I want you to consider a baby cuckoo in a foreign nest. You know the story. The baby cuckoo begins its life there as an egg, a bit different from the others, but harmless and inert. And then the egg hatches, and very quickly the young cuckoo chick begins to pull its weight and disposes of the other eggs or chicks, those that have the right to be there. And the cuckoo grows bigger and bigger, fed by the incessant activity of the cuckoo chick's surrogate parents. And as their activity grows and grows, and the chick grows and grows, well, in time there is nothing else. That chick has taken over everything and left nothing, no space and no time, no anything. And that is how an addiction works. At the beginning, it is fairly small, and there are other parts to your life which are working okay, if not better than okay. But as the addiction grows, then it begins to take over. And this can reach the stage that a large part of one's time is spent thinking about it, preparing for it, and indulging it. And of course, if the addictive activity is illegal, and or expensive, and or shameful, then some of that time is spent in concealment and all the other activities that are needed to feed it. Which hints at why an addiction can take over. Concealment separates you from people who can meet your essential needs appropriately for connection and intimacy and shared experiences. And so the addiction, just like the cuckoo, is taking over and pushing out from the nest something that is actually much more important. And when this happens, it can become really scary, even to contemplate letting the addiction go. Because what else will you have? There is something else going on here. We are all attracted towards pleasurable activities, but the more and more we do them, we will find that we derive less and less pleasure and satisfaction. And so we humans will try something else. And if you think about it, that is essential for our human species to survive and prosper. Because if this were not so, then we humans would just carry on doing the same thing over and over again. Why not? But, and it is a big but, if your life is beginning to empty out, so you find yourself sticking with this one activity, then you have to do more and more of it to get the same degree of buzz from it. And so the addiction takes over. You are doing more and more of it, and consequently more and more of the other parts of your life are hollowing out, which in its turn sends you further and further towards the addiction. It truly becomes a downward spiral into potentially a very deep hole. And it's not just the activity itself. It becomes all that goes with it. The concealment, the preparation, and so on. And of course, the compulsion to prepare and indulge and feed the addiction shows that crude emotion and habits are in control. And these are overriding your intelligent, rational, and far-seeing brain, which knows, or at least is dimly aware, that there is a much better way for you and that that addiction is doing far more harm than good. There are much better ways to live and to begin to live. And so you forget that from small beginnings, massive change and progress towards a balanced life is not just possible, but highly likely. Just like addiction, you think that it's all or nothing, but it's not. And your recovery will not be like that. It will slowly creep up on you, and then you will know. So what is it that makes addiction so easy to acquire and so difficult to shake off? The answer lies in the chemical rewards mechanisms that the human brain uses to motivate it, and how this activates your action centers, even to the extent of switching off that part of you that knows you should stop because it is destroying you. You could call this part of you, which is cut off in addiction, as the bridge of the ship, where all the controls for steering safely are kept ready. The excitement we get when we are keen to do something is produced by dopamine, a natural brain chemical very like cocaine. This raises our emotions, so we want to take action. And the warm feeling of satisfaction we get after doing something, eating, laughing, sex, or achieving some new understanding or skill, are produced by endorphins, another natural substance. Working together, these chemicals keep us interested in doing the biological functions that preserve the species and stretch each of us to learn and achieve. Now, in a well-balanced life, a reasonable amount of natural reward is felt every day. But in a life where essential emotional needs are not met and abilities are not stretched, the rewards do not come and life will feel flat and without meaning. And this kind of life is rich territory for addiction to target, as every addictive substance or behavior either stimulates the reward mechanism or provides a chemical reward directly. Emotion is sprayed around, and this gives rise to expectations and action. And as the addiction becomes more important, the emotions become cruder. It all becomes about crude desire and lust, which leads automatically to highly focused, single-track action. Dangerous activities stimulate production of dopamine, generating a feeling of exhilaration. Injecting heroin gives a warm, cozy feeling, like the natural feelings of satisfaction you might get after fulfilling any biological necessary function. There is yet more, namely the triggers which prompt the emotion and action. This is the cue upon cue, all sequencing and building and growing more and more powerful and more numerous. And they will all be cranking up the emotion and leading to the addiction action. After all, these triggers are filling a vacuum. Cue, emotion, action. And then in time, the action becomes everything. Less and less emotion is needed to generate the addiction action. And the cues and triggers begin to work unconsciously and automatically, taking control like the gear shift of a car and speeding you towards the action and the momentary fulfillment. And like a car speeding up, the rituals and preparation that take you to the consummation can be exciting and comforting. But afterwards, of course, there is the letdown and the self-disgust and the lack of control, where the ego is helpless to stop you however hard you try. And that effort to stop can last for days, and it is so exhausting. It has a name, ego fatigue, and the end result is always the same. So enough of the theory. Let me sketch out the scenario of your addiction entrapment. Better if you close your eyes at this point, though it is by no means essential. But whatever you do, you should not be listening further if you are driving a car nor doing anything else that requires your full attention. We will begin with the negative emotion or emotions that seem to have been there with you in some form or other through most of your life, and which are still there, despite your best efforts to get rid of them. Wait a moment and see how easily you can connect to them. There was that overwhelming need for love and support, to feel safe, for boundaries, to be heard, to be free. It was like a starvation leading to a desperation. Are you feeling it? What is it for you, I wonder? Just stay with it. An anxiety in your belly, always there or around somewhere, never really going away. A feeling of inadequacy, the expectation of disappointment. Or is it for you an anger and a feeling of being out of control? Or an inexplicable fear or sense of dread? Well, whatever it is, and however long it has been part of your life, you found something that could quell it and indeed replace it with something else that was a whole lot better. At the beginning, this drug or drink or activity was just good to have around, but in time, like the cuckoo, it just grew and grew. And then it became too big and began to take over, didn't it? The dopamine surge became stronger and stronger, and the emotions of desire, hunger, a kind of lust really, became ever more powerful and concentrated, such that the need to do what was needed became irresistible. It became one track, fusing into one road or a tunnel of attention which led inexorably to just one result. And after a time, the tunnel worked with more and more efficiency, didn't it? The tunnel was going directly to the action and resolution, a lockdown into a trance state where your focus was fixed and narrow and powerful, and from where the addiction held total sway. All balance was gone, and the captain of the bridge was nowhere to be found. Now, the triggers that create the dopamine surge and the tunnel of action can be many and varied, or a few and persistent. It all depends. What are they for you? Is it the passing of the same drugstore on the same journey on the way home from work? Or is it settling down at the end of a hard day on the computer? Or again finding yourself alone and maybe lonely and desperate? Or walking into the pub and ordering the first beer? Or seeing the betting shop by the train station? Or is the trigger within you? Is it a feeling of rising tension or anger or excitement or loss of control? And this in turn can be fed by many things or a few things. A great meeting, a disastrous meeting, or the satisfaction of a job well done? Or is it the release as you walk out of the door and that now you deserve your reward? Or just seeing the bottle, the phone, and waiting for it to ring, entering into the bathroom, or indeed any bathroom? For some, it can be the beginning of the tunnel and enjoying the walk through, meticulously preparing the equipment, getting you ready, or making the call, and so on. You know the triggers that start you off. And this will be so even if the triggers are barely conscious and lead to action automatically, because the desire and hunger to feed the addiction are no longer needed. It can just happen. So all this will be making a lot of sense to you, I'm fully expecting. Well, just stay with these triggers and notice them, being calm and collected as you do. That's right. And then there is the letdown. That always happens afterwards, doesn't it? Tired, not being able to sleep, your body in pain, the humiliation, letting people down, including yourself, and the knowledge that you can't stop. But can you imagine that the time is approaching when these triggers will become weaker? It is because these unconscious triggers can be changed, and if they have become powerful through a constant use and repetition, then they can be weakened too. For what all your emotions actually are a set of expectations about how you should respond to the situation that you are anticipating finding yourself in. And in terms of your addiction, it is the feeling of relief from the pain and stress that will come about very soon as you partake in the addictive behavior. That creates the desire. And so as your expectations change about your addiction, so will your emotions also. And then it will become easier and easier to begin to have the feeling or expectation of control and confidence, and to feel an energy pushing you away from dependence and towards freedom and real control. And so what is the path of addiction busting? Or as I prefer to put it, the route to leaving that addiction behind and moving on. Well, the first step is not even to pretend that your rational brain or your willpower alone can do it on its own. That instead it is your emotional and automatic action response that are running the show. And take your time. It is all about less haste leading to more speed. And you must not even begin to directly face the addiction habit until you have begun to take those tiny steps that show you the possibility of a more fulfilling life and bring you a measure of control. And then you can set up new habits and experiences which weaken the old ones. You are setting up new pathways in your brain. And then you are ready to change your relationship to the dependence. Be less accommodating towards it and separate yourself from it. But don't begin to hate it. It is, after all, doing its best to keep you safe. And you will know that when the time comes, you will be ready to loosen the power of the addiction trance state once and for all. Okay, just begin to come back to the room as I count back from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Keep listening to this audio so it can really sink in, but begin quite soon also to listen to the next in the series, which further develops these ideas around better understanding of your addiction and how to move on from it. Thank you.